Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Tosh, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Have we banned Strolf and Will Summers from the airwaves today to prevent any jinxing edition?
Jinx.
That Paul Skeens. Skeenus. Not good. Not when he has to face the Milwaukee Brewers, at least. Edition. And the Malik Willis's first day as the QB1, at least temporarily. Quite the practice. It was great to be there for it. They could use some healthy wide receivers, though. A little lull at the wide receiver position. Edition of Wilde and Tosh. A 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app. Your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com. No, God dang it, on the ESPN Wisconsin app. It's been a while since I think. All new, all redesigned, all free. Download it from the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson. It's in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And back in his undisclosed location, free of asbestos underneath the seats of Camp Randall, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tauscher, good morning. How are you?
Why do you think that's that's fireproofing?
I know, but it's
do you?
Not that there's not yeah I do I did know that yes they
All
got
right.
that at Lambeau too but
for the record there's no asbestos at Camp Randall
indeed,
that
yes.
we know of.
Yeah, I was gonna say you didn't even say allegedly. Like I would be careful if I was.
Well, you're free of asbestos at your undisclosed location. That was an accurate statement, I think. Unless there's something about
so.
Your
we cannot confirm that.
Yeah, I don't know that for sure. I hope.
Asbestos is nothing to joke about, and I'm sorry for joking about it.
Come on.
Good morning, Tosh. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing fine. What do you want? I'm doing fine.
11 straight games, they beat your
Careful.
Guy Skeens last night, and you're just okay?
Skeenus.
Just yeah, well, okay. I'm excited, and I'm a little bit because Eleanor's been at day camp, and I've told you guys for everybody that hasn't checked out the Jones Dairy, Eleanor got took her out to lunch there. We put that video up. Eleanor is kind of the straw that stirs the drink in our house.
I can
and
see
she
that
she has not been here, so. We are going to grab her tonight. I'm excited to see her, but I'll say this. at these camps, you can write a note. And a couple days ago, she wrote a great note. My guess is she is, I could tell, she's having a great time, which is awesome. But we didn't get a note last night. So I was a little bit bummed. That's all. It's nothing about, like, not everything. Like, listen, man, it's great that, well, it's great that the Brewers are winning 10 and 11 games.
Her daddy wants to be missed, and he's not telling us.
Yeah. I don't feel horrible. I just, I know she's having a great time. I was hoping that she had written us another note. That's all. She didn't. So.
I kind of like
this side
of you.
Do I scold her in the car ride home about it? Should I scold her on the way home, or should I force two protein muffins down her throat as we're driving back? Or do I just say, God, am I glad you had a great time? It's awesome that you enjoyed yourself at this four-day camp.
We missed you. We're glad to have you home. Aw. I like this vulnerable Tausch. I kind of like this
guy. I'm going to probably do the I'm a little bummed, and I'm going to probably bring a protein muffin with me to make sure she eats.
No, don't guilt trip her for not sending a note.
There's no guilt. I'm not going to guilt trip her at all.
I'm a little bummed.
Am I going to have?
I'm a little bummed.
No,
that you
I'm
didn't
not
going
to say that to her. I'm telling you, because I try to be as authentic as I can on the show, and that is how I feel this morning. All right.
We appreciate your honesty. Don't make
so
her
you guys
feel
can
bad,
sit here
though?
And make fun of me. I don't
We're
care.
Not making
make fun of me all you want.
We love this side
it's
of
you. It's a wholesome moment here.
It's great.
Yeah. You would
wholesome
make fun
moment.
You would make fun of Wilde for saying this, and now
yeah, you would.
No, I would
yeah,
not.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would.
I would make fun of Wilde for going to sit and watch her practice, not even practice, watch her watch a football game and lay on a picnic table. Yes. That I will make fun of. But if he says that his kid. What?
I was sitting on the ground writing, remember? I wasn't laying at a picnic table.
So there's a. I think it's a little different than she being gone for 4 days and Jason not letting her. Well, that's a, I'm not going to even get in this. Why are you all trying to bring me down? I'm already a little sad. You don't need to bring me down.
Well, I appreciate you admitting you're a little sad, bummed. We're not trying to bring you down at all. We love.
You worked. You worked.
No. Well, you start. I asked you how you were doing.
I started it.
And you said, I'm okay.
We thought, wow, Brewers have won 11 straight. Chance for free burgers today. Tausch is going to be great. Brewers fever. And instead, you hit us
with something. Let me tell you something. I'm going to be great. I'm not going to let this all, we're going together. It's going to be awesome. But. I think that trumps the in my world. Everybody's world's different. I don't know. We're not. What are we? We're not even surprised anymore. Like I watched the game last night. There's nothing surprising. Like, what is anybody surprised that they just trounced them
14-0 in a game that was started?
I wasn't surprised. Once it got to 5-0, I legit flipped it off and watched the Badgers training camp day on the Big Ten Network. That they went and interviewed Grimes and Fickell and Tressel because that thing was a wrap. It was a wrap.
Well, you missed a bunch more
home
runs.
This team has gotten to the point where you're shocked if they lose. Like, I'll be shocked if they don't get burgers today. Be shocked.
Well, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here. I thought that was great to start the show. I have no issue whatsoever. I do not want to bring you down. I love the fact that you have a daughter who can stay away from you for 4 days. Our people they couldn't do a camp for that long. So I'm glad that I don't have to miss
them. I'm not going to diagnose things on
don't
there.
Don't do it.
I won't. I just said I'm not going to. I just said I'm not going to diagnose
it. I'm not saying we should talk about Pat Murphy's job
status. I mean, if you dropped your kids off at practice and didn't watch every second they did, I'm not going to say that.
I'm not going to. He can't help himself. He can't help himself.
I won't do that, Jason. I will not. I won't. Like Jesse said 3 months ago, I'm not even going to have a conversation about having a conversation with you about that. Just so we're all on the same page. Won't even go there.
I'm here to make you just I'm just here to make you feel better. All right.
Can I ask a question about this?
Oh, boy.
Corollary. Corollary.
Adjacent?
Yeah. Because this was a big thing when I was in, and this is crazy to think when I was in college was like 12, 13 years ago now.
There's no spring chicken anymore.
Yeah. All of us called our parents a different allotment. Like one guy called his parents. He was from Florida. He called his parents every day to talk to them. I called mine. I tried to do like twice a week, two or three times a week felt like a good amount because I didn't like drive home a bunch to see them on weekends. Like what's the when and now I don't want to, you know, put you guys in a spot here because your kids aren't going to college yet by any means. But this is what it reminds me of. Like when your kids are away, how often do you expect them to check in with you?
I have no idea because they're away from me.
Yeah.
Whoa, Nelly!
All right. I had a major accomplishment yesterday. I would like to have recognized.
What is it?
After gymnastics
you
practice.
You let your kids go to the mall for an hour by themselves?
God, you're such a
Whoa, Nelly!
After gymnastics.
You just said you had a major accomplishment, and this is what we're talking about.
He can't help
so I'm assuming
himself.
It's something kid-related.
No. Well, I mean, it's
you let him do the water slide in your house. You let him do that little slip
and slide. Slip and slide. Very dangerous.
It's kid adjacent. So last night after gymnastics practice, which I did not attend, dropped them off and picked them back up. No, Paula didn't either, although she's back coaching, which we're very excited about. Picked the girls up. Went to the Quick Trip right by the gymnastics gym, and we accomplished our goal with the help of the team at Quick Trip. We created our very own Dunkers variety pack. It had six flavors. We did one of each. Sid and I are doing a taste test every morning now on which one we're going to have, see if we can figure out, is it raspberry, is it cherry, is it banana, is it cream? You're not impressed.
No, I am.
This has been my goal for quite a while.
I was going to let you finish your story. I wasn't going to interrupt you, which I know is different.
I'm also not used to that. Yeah. No, story's done.
To me, so what the story is, so they let you open up different packs and you could maneuver different
Dunkers? So they had five of the six flavors available loose, right, in the cabinet thing. And they opened up the cherry one so we could complete it. Great team over there at the Wabi Lane.
Just wait, so they opened a six-pack of the cherries and pulled one out?
Yes, and put the other five in the
thing. What did they do with the other five? They're going to sell a five-pack?
They put them in the, you know, where the self-service area then. So
Did you tip the Quick Trip person after they did all this?
I did not. How do you tip somebody a Quick Trip?
What do you mean? Give him some.
Well, like if I'm paying with my card, it's one of the few places left in America that doesn't ask you if you'd like to leave a tip when you check out.
You did all that and I'm assuming you just said thank you. That's what you did.
We had a lovely conversation. We talked about how it's going to be a discussion on the radio, that this was my invention that I wanted to do. That I think Quick Trip could have their variety packs prepackaged, one of each, and we created our own instead. It was awesome.
How do you think that would sell? How do you think that would sell?
I'm not a marketing expert.
I think people like what they like. I think
you don't think they'd want the variety?
No, I don't. I think if you go two and two, like if you did it, and I see how you lined it up here. I think if you went three cherry, three raspberry, or three banana, three here. I don't think now if you're bringing it into the office, I think it's great. If you're bringing it to the family, your kids, you know what they like.
This morning. It was very good, by the way. I've never had the blueberry one.
Blueberry is good. I like the way Jason, the way he did this. He put three sets of two in a six-pack.
Right, so on the left, we've got cherry and raspberry. In the middle, it's chocolate and blueberry. And then on the far right, it's the cream and the banana.
Oh.
So it's all six flavors.
I never realized how similar some of those look.
Maybe
right,
it's
let's, the hit, the, let's hit the power ranking on these. I think we power rank this quick. It's simple to me. Blueberry is one. What is it? Raspberry two, cherry three, chocolate four. What are the other two? Banana and what?
Banana and cream.
Or cream, yeah.
Oh,
cream.
Vanilla cream is up higher.
That's pretty
I'm
good.
Put vanilla cream yeah. three.
Mm-hmm.
Banana is six on six, though, for me on this.
Me too. Yep. I had never tried that one either. Banana six, cherry five.
Wow.
Raspberry four, blueberry three, vanilla cream two, chocolate one.
Yeah, I just don't like chocolate. Just not a fan. Like, chocolate's going to be better than banana for me, but I always want my ice cream, my donut. I want to have a little vanilla in my life.
So no chocolate and no mint. Those are your two kind of
I mean,
deal
I'll
breakers.
Have chocolate, obviously.
So chocolate,
yeah,
mint chocolate
is...
chip. From
No, I'm out. I don't say things hyperbolically all that often.
But
I will guarantee you, I'll still have occasionally one of those, I'm not going to say the name of it. They give those little chocolate mint bars out when you're walking out the restaurant.
I like those.
Occasionally. But I will never have another scoop. And I don't know the last time I've had a scoop of mint chocolate chip ice cream. Never again. And I won't do it. Like that's something. You can basically put it down. I can't say that about almost any other food. But you put that on the list, it ain't happening, Cap'n. Not happening.
Wow. So, mint chocolate
What's
chip
the
ice
one
cream.
Food? What is your I will never, ever, doesn't matter if my kids at their wedding say, Dad, will you have a scoop of mint chocolate chip ice cream? I'm going to tell them, no, sir, no, ma'am. Not happening, Cap'n. What is it for you?
And I'm so glad you're home from camp, honey. I don't know if the, I don't know if there's an ice cream that I won't eat.
Tapioca pudding.
Oh no, that's good.
No,
tapioca pudding's good.
When I was a kid, I got a tapioca pudding. I didn't like the texture of it. I tossed it back up afterward, and I am forever out on tapioca pudding.
Okay. All right. Jason?
Well, the
list is
long.
I'm not saying it has to be ice cream. It could literally be anything.
Okay, well, onions. I refuse to eat onions. I find them disgusting. Their taste, their texture, yuck. Gross. Terrible. Hate them.
So you never have fajitas. You never have...
I do. I just don't have that.
You know, there's onions in... I bet you there's a lot of things you've had onion you don't even know about.
I remember going to a certain fast food joint when I was a kid that has these yellow arches, and they put onions on their like regular basic hamburger. I don't know if they still do that, if it's that automatically on there, but those little diced onions, I never recovered from that. Just not, can't do it. Yuck.
Ugh. I'll tell you what, I think if you're eating like tacos, you get that crunch of an onion. If you don't have that, I feel like you're missing out.
I think my life is really good, actually, without them. Much like your home.
Better.
You want to miss out on something. You want to feel like you're missing out. Have leaky, creaky, squeaky windows instead of having Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Then you'll really feel like you're missing out.
I would agree. And for long-lasting comfort and reliability, it is easy to trust Pella. Each piece is specifically constructed for your home, always designed with innovation, rigorously tested for quality and performance, and built to create long-term energy savings. And there is no reason to wait, because if you order by August 31st, you get zero interest for up to 60 months. It's 5 years of no-interest payments, so don't miss out. Visit PellaWI.com today.
We need to get ready for Brian Bulaga. We'll talk a little bit about where the Packers stand at wide receiver. It ain't pretty. That's next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
those of you that did not enjoy our vulnerability from the big fella missing Eleanor as she returns from camp, and then our power ranking of the Quick Trip donuts, which I actually enjoyed. It's a great idea from Tao to just power rank all six in our do-it-yourself variety pack. Let's talk about the Packers wide receivers before we talk to Brian Bulaga. Christian Watson, PUP. Not going to be getting off PUP before camp ends, which we did discuss the possibility of at one point this offseason. Not happening, Captain. And Brian Gutekunst saying we're going to get to that after that fourth game, and he's going to be chomping at the bit to return, and we're going to have to hold him back. So we'll see if he makes the Halloween deadline that one Mark Gerald Tauscher put on his return. Dontayvion Wicks hadn't practiced in 2 weeks. 2 weeks with his calf injury. Jaden Reed hobbling around with a walking boot on his left foot. And then Romeo Doubs in what I thought was, I don't want to say innocuous because there was contact, but deep ball from Malik Willis. He's jostling for position with Evan Williams. He bobbles the ball. There's a collision, which I did not think was severe. Neither did Evan Williams in talking to him. And Romeo Doubs was slow to get up. Helped off the field. Looked maybe like his back was bothering him. He came into the locker room during media access. He said he did not have time to talk. And then said when Rob Domofsky asked him if he was good, he said, yeah. So that's your big quote from Romeo. So in case you're scoring at home, those are your top four wide receivers from last year. Your fifth wide receiver is playing corner. You have two wide receivers that you drafted. Matthew Golden is still, knock on wood, the last man healthily standing because Savion Williams dropped out of practice again, which is starting to become commonplace. So, Tausch, I'm not trying to push a panic button because obviously you don't. The one thing you really don't want are major injuries, and those have been across the league as they are every summer. You're seeing guys landing on injured reserve, and their season is over before it starts. But I don't know, and this was the question I asked Matt LaFleur yesterday and got the great question response. So Love is out at least a week after his thumb surgery. All these wide receivers are out. How on earth are you building offensive chemistry during this period of training camp? And is this a sneaky issue to be concerned about, which we'll ask Brian Bulaga about as well?
Well, you're not. I mean, you're not building chemistry. They're not there.
Right.
You can't build chemistry, you know, when you're not practicing. So I think the thing that you focus on is, all right, who is there? Who is going to be available? And that's where I think you can start looking at, you know, really working on your run game, working on some things with Malik and maybe some of the different things that you're going to potentially do with him if, worst case scenario, Jordan Love can't play. So you have to adjust. And there was always this, you know, when you're practicing and getting ready for games, if there's certain guys that aren't able to practice, you're talking about four of your top five wideouts that aren't available to practice. All of a sudden, what coaches would do is, well, and we got to go more two tights. We got to go with three tight ends. We'll have to go. You have to be able to adjust and find different personnel groupings to be able to function. And this is just another really good reminder when you're looking at things on paper and you're saying you're looking at draft and you're looking at free agency and you're always kind of counting, well, we don't need him. We don't need another wideout. We don't need this. And you always have to account for injuries. And when you're looking at the depth, it does feel like this is another one of those training camps where I really felt like Matt LaFleur has done a good job of limiting a lot of these type of things the last couple seasons, at least in the preseason. This year it seems to be kind of biting them a little bit. So from a wide receiver standpoint, this is not ideal. this is going to be a little bit of a setback. And what you're concerned about now, if I'm Matt LaFleur, is how much rust or how much inefficiency is there going to be in our passing game, which, by the way, we didn't feel great about anyways. Mm-hmm. Prior to all these injuries and prior to Jordan Love having to go under the knife, how are we going to feel good about ourselves going into Detroit? My guess, you're going to look at a heavy two tights. You're going to look at a heavy, I wouldn't be surprised if you see a U71 package and you start leaning on a Josh Jacobs and you start leaning on the play action pass. That will be the guess if this injury bug continues and guys can't practice, because you want to feel like you have a plan and you have a plan in place that you can go out and execute when the lights come on and the games are real.
Yeah, look, I don't. This is not Chicken Little time here. I'm not saying, because I have seen the real problematic scenario, right? I brought it up yesterday to Goody when we were talking about Jordan Love's injury, which obviously is not season-ending or even training camp-ending, probably preseason action-ending, but their hope is he's going to be practicing next week. He's going to join the team in Indy. But I've seen Jordy Nelson tear his ACL. That's catastrophic. I'm not saying any of these are that. What I am saying, Tausch, is that you're opening the season against the Lions. It's a pretty critical game. And then 5 days later, you're playing again against another NFC contender. It would be nice if you went into that feeling like, hey, we got things kind of humming on offense, right? We got our passing game going. And I just don't know how you build that.
In your opinion, that's what I was just going to ask you. In your opinion, is that even possible as we sit here right now?
Yeah. I mean, look, I would hope, like, the fact that LaFleur said of Jaden Reed, we hope he's ready for the opener. That implies to me we don't expect him to be available to us for the next couple weeks of training camp. Right? Like, I don't know when Wicks is coming back. I have been conditioned that if you have a calf injury, what it is potentially, if you don't take really good care of it, is a ruptured Achilles waiting to happen. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. At least in the NBA, it seems to be. So I'm not saying you rush Wicks back out there. We already know that Watson's not going to be ready for the season. And Dobbs, who's had a really good camp, had a couple of, at least one drop in the game on Saturday night, but has still had a really good camp. Now he goes hobbling off. Look, I don't think you want to go into the season, as much as we all have been impressed with Matthew Golden, with him at the number one spot without any, having to play other guys that aren't really ready for prime time. That's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah, you could say that. I think just like Wally Pipp and many others, you open the door of opportunity for guys. If they go ahead and grab it, you're going to see that. So Matthew Golden is down in Indy. He's going to be playing with Malik Willis. If he shines in this joint scrimmage and plays a big role in that first or in that preseason game Saturday,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you that conversation is going to start happening.
I agree.
And you're going to start looking at it. Whether or not he's ready or not, here we come will be the theme song from the Detroit Lions. And I'm all right with that. If Matthew Golden is the guy we want him to be, I'm all right with that growth. Listen, Goody has told you he's all right with young players growing and making mistakes. Now, is that going to still be the case as his team ages? I don't know. But if you have these guys injured and they're unavailable and he's out there and he's able to play, just like Jordan Morgan, which I think we had kind of started writing him off and say, well, put him back at guard. You give guys, especially first-round picks, extra opportunities. They're going to take advantage of them. They're going to get more opportunities. So I would have told you it was crazy talk to have Matthew Golden as potentially your top or second option to start the season. But with these injuries, and if he performs like we hope he can, I mean, he caught a slant against Sauce Gardner. Sauce and I don't remember who else. Garrett Wilson talking to him. Mm-hmm. That's just building blocks. And if you don't think Goody wouldn't love it, and Matt LaFleur, if Matthew Golden pops, and he is the stud that we all, that Mark Murphy proclaimed on that draft night, or everybody is expecting and hoping, that'd be kind of an awesome storyline. And I don't think anybody would be that mad other than the four guys that are injured that aren't able to play. And if that's part of the passing game that needs to be for that Detroit opener, so be it.
We will see how it unfolds. I'm not sounding the panic alarm, but it does matter that you get work. Look, that's what training camp is for, right? It, for guys that aren't fighting to make the team, it's to get ready for the games that count. It's to build that connectivity. That's why you want your offensive line to be set.
Yep. Somebody asked this question yesterday. Why are there so many more injuries in practice in training camp compared to regular season? Now, I could tell you, is it as intense in training or in regular season as it is in training camp? No. But you're still practicing. You're still doing it. And this is a – yesterday it felt like if you saw the Twitter reports as practice was going, it felt like everybody and their cousin was falling out of practice. So why would you say – what would be your explanation as a 30-year veteran covering these camps?
I don't think it is. I feel like every training camp, there's an injury du jour, and there's a position that is harder than other positions, where it just there just seems to be a concentration of injuries at position.
Yeah, agree. But the question was, why is it that there's more now than there is in the regular season? Because there is. There's more practice injuries now than there is during the regular season.
There's a new word that the Packers seem to really enjoy using these days, calloused, which, again, then we have to think about your big toe, which is, you know, much like my big toe, much healthier. But I don't like that word, but that's what we use. You haven't been calloused yet, right? Through training camp is when you're building the callus. So I think that's part of it. I also think they got 53 guys and then the practice squad guys as opposed to
90 guys.
A bunch of guys that you don't know. Maybe they don't
practice
the same. That's
a veteran beat guy answer. Okay.
So
that's a veteran beat guy answer.
Well,
if we're being honest, Jason, there's guys at the back end of these rosters that know they're not making the team. They're not afraid of, get me a couple weeks pay. Like, that does happen. It does.
I got turf toe.
I got turf toe. You got to pay me for the next 2 years because I don't know when and if I'll ever be able to recover.
Well, if I do get paid off for my turf toe, the Tito's are on me, baby. I'm treating.
Well, I love three things. Mint isn't one of them. Football, fire it up the grill, and a solid cocktail in my hand. And when it's time to kick back, whether I'm tailgating before the game, watching from the couch, Tito's Handmade Vodka is always my go-to. Made in Austin, Texas, at the first legal distillery in the state. Tito's is 6 times distilled for a clean, smooth finish. This last weekend, I ran the gamut. I had the bloody, the spicy bloody with my Tito's. Then I went with that great grape juice transfusion.
Infuser?
Always Tito's in that cup for me. And you know why I love Tito's? Besides its great taste and it goes with everything, they partner with a bunch of nonprofits and do a lot of great stuff in the community, especially for our four-legged friends. So next time you're raising a glass, make it with Tito's Handmade Vodka, distilled and bottled by Fifth Generation, on there in Austin, Texas. Savor that beautiful Tito's responsibly.
Brian Belaga joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Something special is cooking in Milwaukee.
You have to be hungry and play with a chip on your shoulder. Those are the guys that Murph loves. Those are the guys that the Brewers have.
You're listening to Madison's new home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball, 100.5 ESPN.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know
city we're in. But when I go back home, I've got some famous friends.
Time for our famous friend. I love this picture of him emerge from the cornfields of Iowa. It is the great Brian Bulaga, Iowa, on Wildy and Tausch. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Is that
good? How are you?
No,
orange get, girl.
No. That's my mediocre photoshopping work. You should have seen the first version.
Where's the cornfield? I don't see it.
It's on Twitter X. When I shared the links to watch Brian on our YouTube channels and on the broadcast on X. Hey, Brian, you went through a lot of training camps. Sorry for getting to you so late. Don't worry, we'll have you out by 10:30. I'm curious.
Will we?
maybe. I'm curious. I was just saying to Tausch, it feels like, and I believe Tausch agreed with me, it feels like every year at training camp there's an injury that everyone seems to, like, seems contagious. Like, this year, it appears to be the groin. Groin injuries are the popular injury. And then it always feels like there's an injury epidemic at one specific position, and this year it's wide receiver. Do you remember that as a player? Am I imagining that, or did you get that same vibe from camp to camp?
Yeah, that's normally how it goes. When they come in bunches, and it normally impacts, like, one room. And it always felt that way, like, you know, from an offensive line perspective, like, you know, you have your groups, the ones, the twos, and threes. And, you know, you're used to a certain rotation, right? And a two would jump in for a one to take reps off of him. Well, if that guy goes down, you know, normally a guy would step in and take your – but normally – then the next guy would go down. So then as the one, you're like, well, gosh, I'm taking all these reps now. It doesn't mean no one here is jumping in for me. And it just seems like when someone in a position goes down, someone has to take those reps. So more reps are added on to someone. And I'm not saying, like, nowadays these guys are taking a bunch of reps, but it is a lot of usage, right? These guys are taking more and more reps that they're not used to. And when you do that, sometimes these things start to pop up in position groups when guys start to get hurt, and that's just kind of the way things work at times. But the specific injury, like the flavor of the week, like the groin injury this camp, I feel like that also kind of happens. Like, you know, it could be times like where, you know, I'm knocking on wood here at the house because it's happened to me a bunch, but like ACLs are a thing. Like, you'll see, like, a team will go through, like, knee injuries, and it'll be ACLs 1 year, or it'll be, a back injury or something like that. And you just see these things constantly pop up. And then there's always a reaction from the strength staff and the training staff the next year of how to combat those injuries going into the next season. And there's a big protocol of how we're going to do this and that. But sometimes they just, you know, check it off to bad luck, and there's nothing you can really do to prevent those things. It's just the way it goes. And that's camp at times. That's just the way things fall, unfortunately.
So the conversation that Tausch and I were having, I just want to get your thoughts on this. And then I know you broke down the film of the preseason opener, which there was some good that you'll get to talk about too, right? About Jordan Morgan, but we'll get to that. I'm not trying to be Chicken Little here, right? They got 17 games. You know, the injuries will dissipate. They'll get into a rhythm at some point. My issue is when you're missing your top four wide receivers, not including Matthew Golden, top four returning wide receivers, and now your quarterback is on the shelf for at least a week and won't play in any more preseason games after the little procedure on his left thumb. How do you build offensive continuity going into two games in 5 days against two NFC championship caliber teams out of the chute to start your schedule?
Yeah, I mean, it's there's certainly a little bit of a bind with that, right? Like, I mean, I think that's certainly not a spot that they thought they'd be in at this point in camp, right? I mean, I mean, the quarterback getting hurt and or have whatever you want to call it, a minor procedure. It's an injury, right? I mean, you go under the knife. I mean, it's surgery, right? I mean, you call it what you want. You could say it is what it is. And it's certainly not what you would expect to be happening at this point in camp, or really you'd hope at any point throughout the season. And it certainly throws a small wrench in trying to prepare for, you know, the Lions in week one. And now the receivers start to kind of get banged up and they're missing time. So I get Jordan's missing time, but if he's missing time, it's like, all right, well, that's obviously a big piece of this. But if the receivers are still out there and they're with Willis and they're still running the routes and they're doing all those things and they're getting their reps in, you know, Jordan steps in and obviously timing picks up a little bit more, but they're able to maybe get that going a little bit quicker. But now all these guys are out, right? And no one's taking reps essentially besides Golden. And having them come back and get ready to go by week one is going to be difficult. I mean, it just is. I mean, I'm not trying to like be an alarmist here and like, you know, the
chicken
you know, the
little,
ending,
I guess,
but
chicken little is the word we're using.
No, I like little. Alarmist okay. better. Done, Brian. I'm sorry. I would like to
you've been
defer
using
to
chicken
you.
Little for like 10 years.
It's just going to be difficult to get a rhythm in the passing game. I mean, it is. I mean, this is what camp is for, is to kind of get these things figured out and get a groove going and get a lot of the little nuances in the pass game figured out. So guys feel comfortable with their routes and the timing of it. And when everyone's on the shelf, it's going to be difficult. And it's going to be a lot of reliance on this run game. I mean, that's going to be what it is early on. That a lot of people are going to be relying on the run game. And I mean, I'm all for it, right? I mean, we know the run game's good, but you have to be able to do something else, because we all know Detroit is going to stack the box. Like, they are going to stack the box, and you got to be able to get them out of it. And obviously, completing a pass isn't the issue. It's having, when it's, you know, third and eight, third and nine, and having, you know, having these guys be on the same page and make things look clean. Is there going to be plenty of time to get everyone together to do that? I mean, I hope so, but I don't love the way it looks at the current moment. Let's put it that way.
That there is no doubt. I agree. You're not as if it wouldn't have been leaning on Josh Jacobs. Now I think you're really going to lean on Josh Jacobs and the O-line that you built to run the football even more effectively. Blue, tell me that my little theory here on Matthew Golden. Jason went through all the guys that are injured. Dobbs got hurt yesterday. Wicks is out. Reed is out. Watson's been out. Matthew Golden has an opportunity here. He had the nice play against Sauce Gardner. Everybody's raving about him. He is going to be one of the only guys that's going to be practicing, at least in that what we thought top 5-6 coming into this camp. He's got a joint scrimmage against the Colts, got a game against the Colts. Is it crazy to think that he could pop here and really put pressure on this staff to say, you know what, it would have been great to let him kind of build, but he's ready and he's able-bodied and ready to go, and he could really just leapfrog all these cats if he puts together a good 2 weeks here. And when they start putting depth charts out for the Detroit Lions, Matthew Golden could be at the top of that list. Is that a crazy theory?
No, but it's not a crazy theory at all. I mean, it's when opportunities like this are given, it's up to guys how they take advantage of them, right? And this is going to be obviously two big weeks for him, right? I mean, he is a rookie and he's still developing. Obviously, his development is as what we can see, right? Like, I mean, obviously we're not in the meeting rooms with them and we're not seeing everything that's happening. I mean, we could just see the clips of what's happening, like what Jason and everyone's reporting, what we see on in the game. And it looks like he's developing really well, right? Like, it looks really good. If he continues on this, you know, path, and, you know, he's one of the only guys out there, you know, healthy and working, and he continues to improve and improve, they don't have an option, right? Like, he is the guy. He will be the number one guy. And I don't want to put this based on like, oh, well, it's by default because everyone's hurt. It'll be because he earned it, right? Because he continues to improve and improve and improve. And he ends up being the guy. And you know, I'm sure going into this, LaFleur and the whole offensive staff probably thought like, okay, we have a pretty full room. He's going to have time to grow. Well, unfortunately, things happen, right?
Grow up quick. Yep.
Yep. And that's unfortunately the way the NFL goes. Like you're forced to grow up quick, and that's going to be the case for him. But he seems like someone that is ready to accept that and you know get put to the test. So like I hope these next few weeks he continues to just progress and you know make really good strides. But at the same time, right? Like this is the issue when you have so many guys down in a room, his workload now, like you have to be cautious with a workload, right? Like, is okay. So you put him in the joint practice with the Colts. Yeah, obviously he's going to do that. There's no doubt he's going to do that. And as he should. All right. Now you're going to turn around and play him in the preseason game. How much, right? Like, mm-hmm. and these are the things that I worry about. When you have so many guys down in a position and you have the one guy, like obviously he was going to be a top guy in the rotation, but now how much workload gets put on his plate? And that's the one thing that they're going to have to balance really well to make sure he doesn't end up with some, you know, soft tissue thing that he's now nursing now for like a week or so. Cause like, that's just not what you want, right? You want to make sure he stays on the field and he's progressing the way he needs to and the way he has been, which, you know, I'm hoping that, I mean, LaFleur knows that. They all know that, and they're very aware of the depth in their room right now going into this.
All right, we want to get to what you saw as you broke down Saturday's, dare I say, debacle. It was not pretty, but there were some standout performances that are also there to highlight. Brian will do that for us during Tackle Talk. Next, I want to remind you, Grubel Offices, David and his team, they are the absolute best. And if you want to get great advice and you want to win your case, there's only one call to make. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666. Go to the website, gruber-law.com, to find out more. More with Brian Bulaga next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in, but when I go back home, I've got some famous friends. Yeah, I do.
All right, we've finished the Chicken Little alarmist portion of the program, but maybe we haven't, depending on Brian's assessment of the film that he broke down from Saturday night. But as Dom Capers used to always say when he would start his press conferences with us, let's start with the positives. Won't take very long. Brian, Tausch sent me this. I want to give credit where it's due because it was a funny line. I don't remember who tweeted it, but it was something to the effect of, and Tausch, correct me if I'm wrong, we went from Jordan Morgan is terrible to Jordan Morgan is the starting left tackle and go ahead and trade Rashid Walker in like warp speed. Wasn't that kind of the gist of it?
That was the gist of the tweets, yes.
I'm not advocating for a trade to send Shido elsewhere, but Brian, Jordan Morgan, it appeared to me, had a pretty decent night. What did you think?
Yeah, no, he played good, right? I mean, you look at the performance overall from, you know, start to finish, not just him, just from everyone, and he played well, right? I mean, from what, you know, the limited time the ones were even on the field, right? Like, I mean, they were on and off pretty quick. So he didn't get a bunch of reps there. Then he stayed on for a couple more series, and he continued to perform the exact same. Like, he played well. He looked physical in the run game, too, and they ran the ball to his side. He looked like he was physical in the run game. Mm-hmm. By all means, took advantage of the opportunity he was given, And that's, you know, to his credit, you know, very good, right? Like, I mean, that's all you could say. Like, obviously, we're not in the meeting room to grade him or you know, I don't know the exact play calls and the assignments if anything happened. I can't speak to that, but just watching the performance and how he did, he played well. And that's, you know, from a competition standpoint, when you're competing with someone, it's all how much closer can you get to that person, right? And obviously going into this, it seemed like he was far away, right? Like it would seem like it's a really uphill battle for him. And then with that performance against the Jets ones, it seems like he closed the gap. And we're going to see now this week against the Colts, is he able to even close it down even more? And what I'll be interested to see is if this in this joint practice, who goes out there to start this whole thing off? Mm-hmm. That'll be very interesting to me to see what the thought process is with LaFleur and Steno and Butkus and kind of who's the one line. And that'll be very telling.
Blue, how did you you just kind of went through his process and the grading and thought he played pretty well. Any big strides? Is he taking on power better? I know we didn't see him at tackle. We saw him at guard in the limited amount of time we saw him on film last year. But anything you noticed about what looks different this year compared to last in his game?
Yeah, so, like, again, it was minimal reps, right? Like, again, it's not like the Packers went on multiple drives that were, like, 13 plays and he got, you know, 40 plays and you had that many plays to go through. But he did go against quality starters in the Jets. And from what I was able to see and how he was pass blocking, I've always said from the start, his feet are really good, right? He does have tackle feet, which gets him in good position to take on rushers. And it seemed like, I didn't get to see what happened in at family night. All I heard is that he had a couple bad reps against Van Ness and whatever that may be. And obviously that would have been power because that's kind of Van Ness's, you know, that's Van Ness's, you know, mm-hmm. go-to. But it seemed as if against the Jets, getting out into space, he really got, you know, good off the ball, which is important for every tackle to get off the rock is, you know, as quick as you can. And it seemed like he was settled into space good to take on power. And when he took on power, he was able to adjust and, you know, counter the second move, which seemed a lot of guys trying to rip up field and do things like that. And he was very good with his feet and able to counter those things. So for him, it seems if he's able to absorb power, the first initial move, which is seemed like was his struggle initially, was taking on power. If he's able to do that, he's going to be fine, right? Because that's his one thing that he seems to struggle with right now is guys with really good power that can transition to it quick and do it like into a counter and into a speed move. And it seems like he was doing pretty well at that against the Jets. Again, I say that with a disclaimer, there wasn't a bunch of reps and tape to go. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like there was mm-hmm. a bunch of film. But from what he put on tape from the limited work, he did that really well. And he used his hands really well. He was able to get, you know, separation or when he needed to get guys close, he was able to do it. It was just, he looked comfortable, right? Like, and that's the best way to put it. He didn't look like he was all over the place. He wasn't sitting underneath himself, which gets guys in trouble a lot. You know, that's how, if you're first, two kicks out of your pass that are junk, you're sitting underneath yourself, you're putting yourself behind the eight ball. He was out and back, which is paramount for tackles to be in good positions. He just looked comfortable, which when you're able to take more reps, which he's been able to do now, right, since Elton mm-hmm. got back, you're going to see a guy become more comfortable at a position, and that's what we're seeing.
All right, Blue. Hard Rock Casino Rockford, you make the trip over. You come back, you see your folks, you're going to head over to Hard Rock Casino Rockford. The thing is, you get to pick. Who do you think ends up starting at left tackle? Who is the favorite right now for that Detroit. Oh. It is a prop bet.
Yeah, this is
I yelled at yesterday.
It's tough. It's tough, right? Like this is difficult because like if you asked me this a week ago, I mean this is like a slam dunk.
It's gonna be Rasheed.
It's like a slam dunk. It's like 100% almost. Like I feel, but it just seems as if now he's closing this gap. And obviously, I mean, Jason, correct me if I'm wrong. I think the other day she did 11v11 work, but Jordan Morgan started out the session with the ones
that might have been,
and he started.
That might have been when I was still, you know, nursing my turf toe. So I'm not sure. I don't know if I've seen him do. He didn't do 11-on-11 yesterday, I don't think.
So he's still battling the groin, right?
The groin is still an issue. So I don't think. And that's the thing, right? Like the old saying about you can't make the club sitting in the tub. You can't win the starting job if you're not participating, and the other guy has the momentum going either.
He opened the door, and it's no fault of his own. Injuries happen.
Right.
But he opened the door, and I think we're all probably pleasantly surprised that Jordan Morgan has jumped through that door and played pretty good football. Because, you know, this is the thing, and everybody's like, don't overreact. When you're in a competition, preseason football is like postseason football. Everything gets over-examined.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Yep.
And Jordan Morgan got over-examined on family night, and he got over-examined last week. And last week it was much better than what the over-examination was on family night. And when you have those positives, I've went through the litany of people that have earned opportunities because they made three or four great snaps in a preseason game, and the coaches see that, and they're like, I want to see more. Jordan Morgan is in the I want to see more. And if I see what I keep seeing, I think he has a really good shot. And Blue and I think we both last week when we talked, or 2 weeks ago, it was Sheed is going to have this job. And Jordan Morgan's going to have to find a spot. And then we started talking, well, you know the inevitability. If he's a first-round pick and he hasn't been a starter for 2 years, you know what that conversation can be. Well, you can wipe that conversation out by playing good football and positioning yourself, because all offseason when that declaration by Goody in the offseason is that is an open competition, they want Jordan Morgan to win that. But it was you have to validate it. Jordan Morgan is in the validation process right now. He's got 2 weeks to get that. When you go to the old, what is that where you got to get the stamp? What is that stamp where you got to go, you see the dude?
Unlike your passport? You're going through
customs?
No.
It's when you go to the bank and you have to get something verified.
Go to the amusement
what is that
park
when, you put that
when you're like going to your car to eat a sandwich?
Yeah, he's a...
Jesse, no. You know what I'm talking about.
Notarized. Yeah.
Notarized. He needs to notarize this, and then all of a sudden it's, whoa, he's got the... He's notarized now.
Amusement
if it's 50-50, if it's 50-50, they're going with Jordan Morgan.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, it's not – like, he didn't go out there against the Jets and play the twos or the threes, right? He went out there against the Jets starters.
He played some of those, too. Yeah. He played the second most snaps on the team. Anthony Belton, who I did want to ask you about before we go, Anthony Belton played the most. Poor Jacob Monk played the same number as Jordan Morgan did. But those were the three guys that played the highest percentage of offensive snaps. So he went against the ones initially and then the twos and the threes, but he was consistent all game long, and that was an encouraging
100%.
Sign for him. On the other good and bad part of the scale before we let you go, Anthony Belton, Tausch really liked what he saw there. Jacob Monk, not a lot to like.
Tough night.
Yeah, no, I like Belton too. Listen, I think he's big, he's physical. Obviously there's lots of room for improvement, right? Like, there is. That's the way it goes when you're a rookie. There's always room for improvement and how you adjust to the NFL game, but to see him against other NFL teams and other talent and how he handled himself, I thought was really good, right? Like, I think it was a good debut to see, you know, him on the field. So like I walked away happy with his performance. I mean, obviously there's things to correct, like I said, but you're just looking at initial body of work, and I think it was a good start for him, right? And for him, how he's able probably most, you know, to be able to bounce from certain positions is very valuable, right? I think he could play, you know, play guard, play tackle. I think that's something that, you know, kind of elevates him a little bit, is that he has that experience. So, yeah, he's a guy that I also, like you said, Tosh, I want to see more from. I would like to see, you know, and I don't know what the rep count's going to be, you know, at the joint practice, which then alters the reps in the preseason game. But say the Colts were to put the ones out, you know, in the preseason, I'd like to see Belton go against Buckner. I'd like to see it. I would like to see how he handles himself, because like that's how you find out how guys are. Like you don't, you know, that's how you figure out, you know, how guys are going to stack up against starters in the NFL. Like you don't see it from guys going against threes or things like that. Like, yeah, you get a little picture of how they perform, but you get it when they go against guys that are starting on Sundays. And that's how you get your best look. And obviously for Monk, you know, I mean, he starts the game at guard, which I don't think he's a guard, right?
Like, center,
definitely like me. But I just, yeah. I mean, they got Sean Ryan doing, you know, playing center, which I understand they're doing it for in case there's
cross training,
something happens. But like, Jacob Monk's not a guard. Like he's not. He's a center, and he doesn't look settled there. So like he just looks out of sorts when he plays guard. And he trains all spring as the center because Elton's out, and then Elton misses, you know, the first, you know, week or so, or week and some change of, you know, practice, and he's probably doing center only, and then here we go, preseason one, he jumps in at guard. And it's not easy, right? But like it was just a difficult night. I will say that. And he's a center. He's a center.
I don't disagree with you, but then why not play him at center?
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out. I get it. They want Sean Ryan to take reps there in case, you know, like you said, cross training, in case something happens. I understand that. But like Monk should be like the number two center if that's what he's in there for, right? Like he should be the guy that you're training to be the two center. But it doesn't appear that way. It seems like Sean Ryan's the two center. And then if that's the case, right, then Monk can't be the next guard. Like he can't be the next guard in.
Sheed's not going to play guard. Let's say Morgan wins that. Or then do you say, all right, we'll keep Sheed at tackle with Jordan Morgan. Even if Jordan Morgan fights and wins that job, you're not going to move him into right guard.
Right?
No. And that's where you get into this whole thing of – and this is where we go back. When Goody said he likes guys to play multiple positions, that's great. But guess what? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't be moving everyone around everywhere because that makes things complicated when you get into actual real football and guys start to, you know, get dialed in at one position and then you mix them up and now they're trying to, like, you know, just stay above water in a game. Like, no, like, they have to be comfortable in spots to play, and then they play next to someone and they get comfortable next to the guy that they play next to. Like, there's a continuity is a big deal. Like, it really is. Like having continuity across, you know, the five guys. And if someone, you know, gets hurt and you remove one, that doesn't mean you change everything up and shuffle the whole deck. No, you just plug someone into that spot and they go. And the line continues on as the same. So, like, that's what I'm like kind of looking at with this thing. Like if something happens to Elton, so now you move Sean Ryan and then you're moving a new guard in. So now you're changing two spots when it shouldn't be that way. Right. I mean, and that's my whole potentially three. If you were to move Jordan Morgan, like it concerns me overall, but again, I'm not trying
couple
to...
weeks to let it play out. Couple weeks to play out.
Yes, correct. Couple weeks. But I would like to see, obviously, who the starting five is going to be sooner than later. And I know the left tackle position is going to that's going to get sorted out late. Mm-hmm. But like who the backup center is, who the backup guard is, that stuff kind of you want to see get played out sooner than later, because that's important, right? Like it just is. Those guys are always needed at some point throughout the season. It's inevitable. And to see a big shuffle is tough when you're going through in the middle of a game or just for an entire game in the middle of the season. It's just tough for guys to adjust to.
All right, Brian, I will talk to you again later this week with Homer on the Homer Hour. We'll have plenty to break down as well next week. But more importantly, sources close to the program tell me that we're going to have you on Friday when Old Boy is unavailable. I don't know if he's going to camp or if he's going to be in his feelings or what it's going to be, but he won't be available on Friday.
Yep.
Yes, that's correct. I'll be jumping on Friday. I'll be coming out of the pen.
The burly right-hander out of the pen. We look forward to that. Yep. Thanks, Brian. We appreciate you.
All right, guys. Take care.
Tausch, you mentioned to Brian a prop bet. I don't think it actually exists at the Hard Rock Casino Rockford, but if it did, it'd be an interesting one to put a little scratch down on.
Well, I know Jesse and I, when we were down there back in, I guess, June, had a little fun with how many wins the G&G, Jordan Love with that MVP. Well, I hope his thumb is better, but it's all fun and games down at the Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Over 175,000 square feet of gaming and entertainment space, more than 1,300 slots, 50 live table games, a sports book, and a rock shop. They also have that great Hard Rock Live entertainment venue, 23,000 square feet of premium concert and event space. Terry Bradshaw, Kevin Hart,
Chris
maybe
Rock.
Dolly Parton. I'd love it. I don't nothing booked yet, but I'd love to see Dolly down there as well. Features more than 1,000 feet of LED screens to enhance the experience for up to 2,000 guests. Hard Rock Casino Rockford, a premier entertainment destination just off of I-90 in Rockford, Illinois, about an hour from the greater Madison area.
For the record, Chris Rock also not scheduled to appear as of now at the Hard Rock Casino Rockford.
Yeah, we know.
No, I didn't say.
But you never know.
I said Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
I said Kevin Hart.
Jason.
You did. Yeah. I know you did. Yeah.
I mean, you said four names. Two of them, as we know right now, are not scheduled to appear at the Hard Rock.
That's, you never know.
No, I said I
tricky
hope,
things when we do this.
I said I hope that Dolly, if you remember when we were there, I was saw pictures of Dolly. I'd love to see Dolly. I don't know how old Dolly is, but I'd love to go Islands in the Stream. I mean, what a great tune that is.
Somebody's great releasing song. A new album coming soon, I hear. Maybe it'd be fun if she was going to be there at some point. But you
Taylor
never know.
Swift.
Dolly, yeah. Parton's Dolly Parton's releasing a new album?
No.
The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.